We are holding at Amar of Yehuda, about 8 lines into the page. First word on the line is Le Rabba, and we are at Amar Rav Yehuda. So it says Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hakol Le Igli Gafa Va'afilu Miyasmi. Everyone has to pay for the walls, security walls around the city. Oh, yeah. Everyone's got to pay for the walls for protection, because you cannot be protected without a wall. You shut it down. Shut down the government unless there's a wall. So everyone's got to pay for it. Even Yesomim, you even collect from orphans, you go into their accounts and you take money to pay for it. Everyone needs to contribute. Aval Rabbanan lo, but rabbis don't. Rabbis don't have to pay for security walls. My taima, well, why is that fair? Rabbanan lo tzrichin nitirusa. Rabbis don't need protection. Only other people need protection. Well, why don't rabbis need protection? Do we not care about their safety and welfare? Certainly we do. So
they have the Torah.
They have the Torah to protect them, as Rashi writes, Lotzrichi Nitiruso, Toraso Mishamarto. His Torah will protect him. Which leads to a big discussion in the Rishonim. How big a rabbi do you have to be to say, I don't need a security wall, that I could just be protected from my Torah? Right?
No one has that today.
Many Rishonim say it's got to be Torah and Nasam. It has to be not just Talmud Chacham, but someone who does nothing but learn. He has no Asek in the world itself other than Talmud Torah. Others say, no, it means a great Talmud Chacham, but even someone who happens to, you know, to do other things as well. So that's a big machlokas. But let's say Pashtus, like you're saying, that is someone who's Torah and Nasam. So nowadays, rabbis would have to pay for security.
That happened great Talmud Chacham.
Okay. before Yisrael runs the Shidduch, Lekarya de Pasya, Va'afilu Rabbanan. When it comes to digging wells, to digging for a water source, everyone's got to pay, even the rabbis, because even rabbis need water. V'lo Amron Ela de'lo Nafki Be'uchluza. But the idea that rabbis have to contribute toward digging wells is only if people aren't going themselves to volunteer the work. Meaning, how do you get wells dug? You hire well diggers. Yes, that's where the Rabbanan have to participate. They also have to pay to hire the well diggers. But it's not, if it's not about hiring well diggers, what else would it be about? Not about hiring well diggers, but about going yourself to dig, that everyone grabs a shovel and goes to dig. The Rabbanan don't have to do that. Why not? Not because they're learning. Rabbanan are not people who should be going out with shovels to dig. Why not? Rashi says three words. Lav b'nei meipak, g'nai hu lahen. What is g'nai hu lahen? It is undignified for them. The Rabbanan are supposed to maintain a certain sense of dignity, and if they're going out and they're digging wells and they're doing this blue-collar type of labor, it will be undignified for them, and therefore they don't have to do that. So main point number one, when it comes to taxes that afford protection, everyone pays except for the rabbis. When it comes to taxes for what? For digging wells, even the rabbis have to pay, but they don't have to dig the wells themselves. There's actually an interesting discussion in Shonim. Let's say everyone goes and grabs a shovel, right? So the Rabbanan don't have to go. Do the Rabbanan have to hire someone to go in their place?
Probably not, but we're going to get a problem with
that. What?
Probably not, the work can get accomplished.
Yeah, but their work won't get, meaning that more would get accomplished if all the rabbis went as well, but they can't because it's undignified for them. So is that just like a kula, so they're off scot-free, or do they, because they need water, do we say that they're responsible to figure it out and therefore to pay for it? So that's his machlokas in the Rishonim, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, what you just said, that they do not have to do it. Okay, so that was main point number one. Next, Amar Rav Yehuda. Yes, yeah, we're up to Amar Rav Yehuda. We are at Amar Rav Yehuda Lekarya Denahara. First words on the line are Mepak Buchluzan and who about 15 lines in. Amar Rav Yehuda Lekarya Denahara, a river that gets blocked up. So what happens if it gets blocked up? You have a raging river and it gets blocked up at some point.
You have to
undig all the rocks that are blocking it. Otherwise, what will happen? The water won't continue to flow downstream, and that's very bad for the people who are downstream and need the water, right? So tasayi misayayi ilayi. The people who live further downstream have to help the people who live upstream to unclog it, to unclog the river, because it benefits them. They need that water. That water that's being blocked is in their best interest to unblock it. But ilayi lo misayayi tasayi. people who live further upstream than the clog don't have to help, because they're not losing by the river being clogged. They have more than enough water now, so they're not losing. What? Oh yeah. So we're assuming that this water is a bracha. That having this water is a bracha. So the people that live further upstream don't have to help. One second. V'chilufa b'maya demitra. But the reverse will be true if it's rainwater that's just draining away. Meaning if it's the kind of water that you don't want. If it's the kind of water that you don't want, it's like the water from the gutters that you just needed to drain away, then the opposite will be true. What does it mean the opposite will be true? If you live further downstream and now it's clogged upstream, you'll be like, great, no problem, I don't have water. I don't have the nuisance of having to deal with that unpotable water. But if you live further upstream, you need to get rid of that water, so the clog is going to hurt you because you want to get rid of all that water. So that's why the reverse happens when it's the kind of water that you don't want, right? Water is a very powerful force, as we saw with Hurricane Sandy a number of years ago. It could be a great force for good and for sustained life, but it can also be a force that can destroy people and that can and destroy homes. So okay, question, Dovi. Dovi Flug, by the way, it's Dovi. Yeah.
In the case where it's clean water, aren't the people upstream the reason why?
No, rocks got in the way. I don't know. There was some natural disaster, blew trees down and it blocked it. I don't know what happened. Doesn't necessarily mean it's all by human, you know, that it was by human hands that it happened. Tani Namiyachi. And we have a brisa that says just like this. Chamesh ganos, hamistapkos mayim mimayin echad. Let's say you have five gardens that are all, you know, one behind the other, one next to the other, that all get water from the same mayan. What's a mayan?
Spring.
A spring, good. From the same spring of water. V'niskalkel hamayan. And the mayan gets messed up, meaning it gets clogged up. So, kulam misaknos im eliona. Everyone has to help the guy. If the clog is upstream, all the guys downstream have to help the guy upstream because they need that water, right? So it turns out that the guy all the way at the bottom is going to have to help no matter where it gets clogged, right? But if it gets clogged only by the bottom, then the guy upstream don't have to help him. He's all alone. So it's worse, to live at the bottom because you're going to have to work no matter what. You're going to have to help unclog it no matter what. And the same is true if you have five chatzeros where the wastewater all gets goes into one waste pipe. I don't know what you would call it. What do they call it?
A sewage
pipe. Yeah, good. One sewage pipe. All the wastewater goes through one sewage pipe. V'niskal kalabiv, and the sewage pipe gets stuffed up. People are using those flushable wipes or something, and they stuff up the whole sewage pipe. So there are cities that are about to like go under because of this. So v'niskal kalabiv, the sewage pipe gets stuffed up. Kulan misaknos imatachtona. So everyone has to help the guy on the bottom if it gets clogged at the bottom, because everyone needs the sewage away from them. So they all have to, the guys on the top need it away from them. They have to help the guy on the bottom. So it turns out when it comes to sewage, it's worse to live on top. Right? That no matter where the blockage happens, the guy on the top is always going to have to help. And if it happens all the way at top, only the guy on top. He's going to have to do it by himself. So how would you summarize this?
If a stream clogs up,
if a stream clogs up, if it's potable water, meaning it's good water, then the people further down always have to help, right? And not the people further up. But if it's wastewater, the people further up have to help, the people further down do not have to help. Good. That's main point number, what was that? Number two. Good? That was number two. Now, says Gemara, Amar Shmuel, no pun intended with the waste. Amar Shmuel. Hi man, the achzik biraksa dinahara. Let's say you have a person who's machzik land. He grabs land by the riverbank. Now, apparently, Rashi explains over here that the way they used to work it in by the Parsiim was that there would be mafkir, all sorts of land, and whoever would go and claim the land would be able to take it, and you just had to pay these exorbitant taxes on it. So the government would make all this land hefker, and you could take it, but like, once you take it, now you have to pay the taxes on it. So a guy goes and he claims the land right by the river. Now that is a lousy thing to do, because the boats used to dock by the river. People would unload the boats by the river, and by taking that land and starting to build on that land, you're going to be messing up all of the commerce and trade and how things are supposed to operate. So it's a real low-life kind of thing to do. So says the Gemara, Chatzifa Havi. That is a chutzpah. That is not a nice thing to do. But we can't throw you out. We can't, because it was hefker. You took it. So what can we do? But now that the Parsai people write in the shtaros, when you buy land anywhere near the riverbank, they write in the shtaros that you own the land from wherever where you bought all the way till inside the river, till the shoulder height of a horse inside the river. I don't know how tall a horse, but a shoulder, meaning deep into the river, you own all that land. So probably the guy who lives closest to the river probably owns all of the land, including the land that you just claimed for yourself, and even a little bit into the river. Why didn't he build it? Because he's not a jerk. He was a nice guy. So he didn't build it up. Now you're going to come and claim that land. What are you really doing? You're stealing from him, right? Whoever lives closest to the river, he may be, 100, 200 yards away from the river, but he owns all that land. You can't just go and claim that. So now that the Parsai people have this practice that you own all that land all the way into the river, so if a guy comes and claims the land right next to the river, what can we do? We can chuck him from the land. We can throw him out because he's just stealing. Amar Rav Damrav, if let's say a person takes land, he grabs land in between properties that are owned by two brothers or properties that are owned by two partners, right? So, you know, that guy, like clearly the family has designs on this area. They're trying to like get the whole family together, and then like you like right in between, hi guys, you know, I'm here, right? So you're that guy. You go and you insert yourself in between, in the land that's right in between two brothers or two partners. Chatzifa havi, that is chutzpah. But sluke lo mesalkinanle. What can we do? We can't throw you out. You didn't do anything wrong, technically. You didn't steal. Rav Nachman amar, nami mesalkinan. Rav Nachman says we can throw the guy out because the partners can say that this isn't fair. V'imishum dina debar metzra lo mesalkinanle. But let's say the neighbor's only claim is not that we're brothers or partners or anything. The neighbor's only claim is, hey, we're supposed to get the right to purchase the land that neighbor's ours before anybody else does, and no one ever offered it to us. That's something called Dina de Bar Metzra. Dina de Bar Metzra. You ever heard of that? Dina de Bar Metzra? Dina de Bar Metzra is, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. They actually pass. Dina de Bar Metzra means that if I'm selling my house, I have to ask my neighbor if he would like to buy it before I sell it to anybody else, because maybe he wants to have a continuous property because he's going to put up a, you know, he
house
wants
for
an,
the kids.
What?
House for the kids.
Yeah, whatever, right? Whatever he wants, or a mega mansion or something. Or I'm selling my field, so I have to offer it to the guy who owns the field next door, because maybe that guy wants to expand his holdings. He wants to buy more fields, but to own a field here and then another field 3 miles apart means he needs two tractors, he needs two sets of farmhands, he needs two, right? But if he owns the fields right next to each other, he just expands his property. It's much, much more valuable to him than it is to me. So that's the din called Dina de Bar Metzra. So, one second. So Rav Nachman says, Imishum Dina de Bar Metzra lo masalkinan lei. He says, I don't care about Dina de Bar Metzra. We can't throw a guy out just because you didn't, the neighbor said, you know, I was never offered Dina de Bar Metzra. Third opinion, and then I'll take a question. Nadari Amri, Afilu Mishum Dina de Bar Metzra Masalkinan Lei. Even if it's just about Dina de Bar Metzra, you can throw the guy out. Meaning, a guy comes, buys a field, it's not in between two brothers, not in between two partners, but the neighbors say, hey, how come I was never offered to buy this field? So the neighbors can throw him out. You know why? Because the pasuk says, "Va'asisa hayashar v'hatov be'enei Hashem." What does it mean to do that which is yashar and tov be'enei Hashem? You have to be a mensch. You can't be a mechutzah. You got to be a mensch. So beyond, so it's, you say mitzvos, but it's beyond mitzvos. Meaning, it's almost like the Ramban writes that it's like it's similar to kedoshim tiyuv. How do you define exactly kedoshim tiyuv? Meaning, this the Ramban writes that it can't be
of the letter of the law.
Yeah, meaning that there's no book of law that could include every single situation, every circumstance, how to behave, and that. So that's why the Torah included like these catch-all phrases. So anytime there's something that doesn't really fit any particular law, you can say, okay, but what does Hashem want? Right? And that's always the way you're supposed to think in life. What does Hashem want me to do? So main point over here, we have three opinions. If you buy land, next to somebody who doesn't want you to have that land. Right? Three opinions. Opinion number one, that you can't kick the even if it's partners or brothers, you can't kick them out. Opinion number two, if it's between partners or brothers, you can, but if it's just Dina de Bar Mitzvah, you cannot. And opinion number three, even just for Dina de Bar Mitzvah, even if it's not between partners and brothers, you're allowed to kick them out. Those are the three basic opinions. Good? Question?
For this halacha of first offering to your neighbors,
yeah,
they have to offer you the same value.
Yeah. Meaning, if you got a higher offer, then you don't have to sell it to the neighbor for cheaper, right? Okay.
Wait, does the seller have the discretion to choose which neighbor he sells to first?
Ah, so that, yes, that's the fair decision.
Meaning, I'm saying, which one? You have two neighbors,
and yeah. Whoever borders on your property, right? What? That's why we have a din about it, and it's not just automatically going to happen. Okay, says the Gemara. The Gemara explains the situation where the neighbor is mochel. Asa imlechbe. The buyer, before he buys the house, wants to make sure that he's cool, that it's okay to buy the house. He knocks on the neighbor's doors, and he says, is it okay? I plan on buying the house next door to you. Are you okay with that? Imlechbe, right? He asks permission. Amar le ezil izabun. He says, can I go and buy this karka that's right near your property? Va'amalei zil zvon. And he says, go, buy it, enjoy. Bevakasha. Sarich lemiknamine olo. Ask the Gemara, is that enough? The fact that he said, go buy it, gzuntahe, or do you need to do a kinyan to show that he's serious? Meaning, a kinyan sometimes is where you're acquiring something, and sometimes a kinyan is just made to show that what I'm saying I really mean. That it, so again, it's not a kinyan on the field, it's a kinyan on his statement, that this statement is serious. Very similar like by a wedding, you know, they do a Kabbalah's kinyan that says that I am committing the fathers of the chasen, the father of the chasen, the father of the kala, to a Kabbalah's kinyan on the tonight. What does it say? That I am serious about committing to bring my son or daughter to the chuppah. Right? So that's you do a kinyan so the Gemara's question is, do you need a kinyan to show that he's serious, or is just the fact that he said, go buy it, is that good enough? Ravina Amar, lo tzarech l'miknamine. Ravina says, don't need a kinyan. Nardai Amri, sarich lemikrimine. Nardai say, you do need a kinyan. Vihil chasa, sarich lemikrimine. The halacha is, you do need a kinyan. So says Gemara, okay. Hashtadam rit sarich lemikrimine. Now that you've concluded that you need a kinyan, ilo kanumine. If you didn't do the kinyan, the guy said go buy it, but he never made a kinyan to show you that he's serious about it, and you went and bought it. And now, a Yakur Vazul, after you bought the property, you went way up in value or way down in value. Birushuse, well, that all belongs to the neighbor. Meaning, what does that mean, that all belongs to the neighbor? You went and you bought the house for $100, but the neighbor never did a kinyan to show that he's okay with that. Now the house is worth $500. You can go to him and say, here's $100, get out of my house. The neighbor, you the neighbor, can go and say, here's $100 for what you bought it for, get out of my house. If it went down and now it's worth $2, you still need to say, here's $100, get out of my house. You can't just offer him $2, because the way we view it is that when he bought it, he was really almost like your shaliach, because it's you were the one that had the right to buy it. You, the neighbor, had the right to buy it. This guy was illegally buying it, so you can throw him out for his purchase price. And it doesn't matter if it went up in value or down in value. You can chuck him for his purchase price. So therefore, the Gemara gives examples. Zavan b'meya v'shava ma'asan. The guy bought it for 100. Now it's worth 200. Chazina. Ilu kuli alma kamozilo mazbin. if it, you know, that was the price that the guy would have sold it to anybody for, meaning when he sold it for 100, he was desperate enough to sell it for 100, even though it was going to be worth 200 in a short time, Yavle Meyav Shakale. The neighbor can say, here's $100, get out, right? Because you never had my full commitment that you're allowed to buy. What do you mean you never had? You told me I'm allowed to buy it, but what didn't you do? Didn't do a Kenyan. V'ilo, but if he would not have sold it to anybody else for that price, Yavle Masan V'Shakale. Meaning if the guy bought it for $100 because the person who sold the house really liked that guy, but he never would have sold it to you for $100. Or anybody else on earth for $100, he was selling it for such a cheap price because he liked that guy. Well, then you have to pay actual fair market value to throw the guy. You can still throw him out, but you got to pay fair market value to throw him out. You have to pay $200. Or what if it happens in the reverse? Zavin b'masan, he sold it for $200 v'shavya meya, and now it's worth $100. It went down. So savar mina, based on what we just said, right? You would imagine that matzi amale v'tkuni shadarticha v'lo la'avusi. That the guy can say, I don't know why you paid $200 for a property that's only worth $100. I'm only giving you $100 and get out, right? You know, why did you overpay for this? So Amalei Mark Shisha Breder of Chista L'Rav Ashi Hachri Amin Nardai Mishum D'Rav Nachman. Once Rabbi said, Ein Ona'a L'Karkos. You can't claim that the guy overpaid for it. Very important rule. Ein Ona'a L'Karkos. What does Ona'a mean? Overcharging. Ein ona l'karkos means there's no such thing as overcharging for karka, because karka has different value to different people, and there's no, and it's always there, it never disappears. So when it comes to real estate, we ignore ona. So I, the neighbor, cannot go to you and say, why did you pay $200 for the house? You shouldn't have paid $200. I'm only giving you $100. Now get out. I cannot say that. Because you can say, no, to me it was worth $200. And that's not called overpaying, because there's no such thing as overpaying for karka. Real estate's real estate. It's always a good investment. That's what they say, right? Real estate's always a good investment. You ever hear that? That's what they say. Real estate in Israel is a particularly good investment, because, you know, we know that all the Jews are going to have to, you know, Mashiach's going to come. Can you imagine what those prices are going to be like? That's a pretty good investment. So, Zavinle Guriva the Arab Bimitzi Nichse. Let's say a person sells a little piece of land right in the middle of your property. So you want to avoid Dina de Bar Mitzvah, right? So imagine, you have, this is one neighbor. Ip is one neighbor. Chumash HaMakdavar is another neighbor. And you have all this property in between, right? So you don't want to have to offer it to Ip or Chumash HaMakdavar, right? So what do you do? I want to sell it to Chaim Adetsky. So I say, Chaim Adetsky, or Dovi Flug. I want to sell it to Dovi Flug. So I say, Dovi Flug, I'm going to sell you this little dot of land right here. This little dot of land right here. And then, tomorrow, I can sell the rest of it to Ip, or HaMakdavar, or Dovi Flug. Why? Because now you're a neighbor also. That's pretty smart, right? Wow. Meaning this little dot of land, neither of these guys are neighbors to, right? Right? So I could sell this little dot of land in the middle, and then tomorrow. So says the Gemara. Zavinle Guriva Da'ara B'mitzah Nichse. I sell just a little bit of land right in the middle of the property. Chazinan I'idisi Oziburisi Zvinis Vinis. So we want to check to see if this was a trick, or if you, like, if it really made sense to sell just this dot of land. So if this dot of land is Idis or Ziburis, what does Idis mean? What does Ziburis mean? You have the Baba Kama? Idis means the most valuable, the highest quality. Ziburis means lowest quality. So what we're trying to say is, if this piece of land is qualitatively different than all the land around it, so it makes sense to single it out, because it's different than the rest of the field. So then it likely was an actual sale, meaning it wasn't just a trick, that was an actual sale. So then we assume then the sale is a binding sale, and if next week I want to sell the rest of it to Dovi, I'm allowed to do that. But the Elo, if this little dot of land is the same as this dot of land and that dot of land and that dot of land, it's the same as all the land around it, then obviously why am I just selling this dot of land to Dovi? Obviously I'm trying to work my way around what's the three words, what's the word, what's the din called? What am I trying to work around? Dina?
The
bar mitzvah, right? I'm trying to obviously just try to get around that. So then, yeah, rume koma arum, I'm just doing a harama. Harama means a trick. I'm doing some sort of not nice trick. So how would you main point this? What would we say? What would we say over here? What would we say? So something about dina de bar mitzvah, right? That first of all. So let's start with this. Dina de Bar Mitzvah, to be mochel Dina de Bar Mitzvah requires a kinyan, right? We had a machlokes, but to be mochel Dina de Bar Mitzvah requires a kinyan. Then we said that if it goes up or down in value, the neighbor can kick you out exactly for what you bought it for. If it goes up or down in value, the neighbor can kick you out for what you bought it for. And then we said there is a way around Dina de Bar Mitzvah, but you're not allowed to play any games. No tricks. The way around Dina de Bar Mitzvah is if there's actually, it's qualitatively different than the rest of the land, you could sell that and then sell the rest of it. The next thing the Gemara is going to do, which we'll do tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, I will be here tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to go through something like five or six exceptions to the rule of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. More than five or six, eight exceptions to the rule of Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Meaning, when do we say that Dina de Bar Mitzvah doesn't apply? Let's say, for example, when do you think it wouldn't apply there? I wouldn't have to go to my neighbor and ask him first if he wants to buy it. What? Oh, maybe if it's a non-Jew. What else? What?
Your neighbor's an
Eved. Okay, well, let's put that in the category of non-Jew.
Your neighbor's an Isha.
No.
So leave
what if my friend's kid gets married and I decide that I want to give them a wedding gift. So I'm going to get them a house for a wedding gift. I'm a nice guy, right?
Just not this house.
So I want to get them a house. Do I have to check with the neighbors first if it's okay to buy that house to give it as a matana to somebody? I own the house. I want to give them one of my homes. I own five homes, so I want to give them one of my homes as a wedding gift. Right? So do I have to ask the neighbor first? Why don't I have to ask the neighbor first?
Because it's not like you're selling it. You're just.
I'm not selling it. I'm just giving it as a gift. I don't want to give it as a gift to my neighbor. I want to give it as a gift. To my friend's kid or whatever. Okay, so that's going to be tomorrow.